Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. Here to encourage you in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Steve Kolesheski.
Good day, sir.
Good day, good day. We want to encourage all of those that are viewing on the Gulf Coast and those that are listening on VFN Radio all across the nation and the world. We're truly honored to be with you and continuing partnering together to keep the conversation light and continue to spread the light wherever there is darkness, because lighter is greater than darkness. We found out from the kid president that love, love is louder than hate, even if hate has a bullhorn. So,
and John,
yes,
you still smell good.
Well, thank you, Pat. I appreciate that. And guess what?
What do you have on?
Well, Pat, it is an interesting invention that was created.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this.
Uh-oh.
Do tell.
Soap. When you shower, you come out not only clean.
Is that something new?
But smelling good. No, you said you just noticed it.
I thought it was corn dogs. I smelled corn dogs.
See, you took that right out of my mouth.
See, that's like, what I had.
So you took that.
Oh, that's what it is.
Because you
paid me that compliment. Mm-hmm. If you were here in the first hour, but those that if you missed the first hour, Steve is going to share with me a corn dog.
Mm-hmm.
And because you paid me that compliment,
mm-hmm. we're going to invite
I'm going to give you a piece.
I can come?
Mm-hmm.
You can come too.
Wow.
Corn dogs. Chris?
I'm feeling the love.
Corn dogs. There we go.
All around.
Yep, there you go. Now, my daughter loves corn dogs. She might wrestle me for it, but very good. Very good. We're going to continue our conversation in this hour where we just left off on the religious spirit. If you missed the first part of it, you don't want to miss it as we just begin to kind of, you know, unpack that. We're also going to be talking about in this hour, the grace of God. Steve's going to be sharing with us, and we have a special wrap. Yes, we said wrap. Don't get too excited. Not from Pat, but we do have a wrap from Francis Chan that you don't want to miss. Yes, he raps.
Really?
Yes, he does. And you're going to be encouraged by his
rap. Pat, if you want to rap, you can jump in there.
Can I?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Well, you know, swagger wagon is all we got to say. Go to the torch. Go to the torch.
And Jonathan finally saw it, by the way.
Oh, did he? What were his comments?
What did he say?
Dad, you don't have no swag. I don't know what they're talking about.
Say, Jonathan, we'll talk. Well, we want to talk about, we're going to continue our conversation on the religious spirit and what the Lord is showing me, maybe what he's showing you and showing others. The more you spend time in the Word of God, it's amazing how much God will speak to you. Maybe that is why some people are not spending time in the Word of God, because it's like a mirror. Mm-hmm. In fact, really, one of the things with religious spirit is that it actually presumes on the Word of God. When that spirit manifests, it's like, well, I don't need to read that because I already know that. I already read that story. Oh, yeah, that's... So, you know, it's more concerned about information as opposed to revelation. So it's like, oh, I just keep reading the same things. I need to read something else. Well, that's taking the Holy Spirit's role out of spending time with the Word of God. You're not reading it for information, but you're reading it so that God can reveal things, whatever he wants to share with you.
Yeah.
So if your approach is, oh, I know that. The two fish, the loaves. Oh, yeah, he's talking about the Pharisees again. Yeah. We'll just skip that.
Yeah, well, just hearing what you're talking about, and to me, it's just very encouraging, and it's this is something we have to pay attention to, and it's like when we're reading the Word, when we're spending time with God, it's like, I loved what you said before. It's like, God, are you saying something to me about me? Because so often we're just like, you're saying, I know many times before, I've said that, it's like, wow, this person has to hear this, and we totally neglect the fact that, okay, you know, you're reading it. You should probably look to yourself first.
Yeah.
And as I'm hearing you talking, it just reminds me of in Matthew 7, and this is Jesus talking, I love the red letters, and he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And I think that is so powerful, because that is the deceptive outcome of a religious spirit, is that that's when the speck becomes bigger than the plank. Mm-hmm. And we're so blind to it, to see the fact that we have a plank in our own heart, and we're like, oh, you know, you got a little speck there. Hey, did you realize that speck's in your life? I just wanted to show you, just want to let you know God loves you, and there's a speck there.
Yeah. Well, you didn't know? We have spectacular spectacles for spec watching.
Yes.
Spectacular spectacles, and we zoom in really close to do all the spec watching as we look at all of the faults and the errors and the things that people need to change in their life. Mm-hmm. Not, of course, anything we got to change, you know, but they got to change in their life so that they can be right with God.
Yeah. You know? And that's the huge thing. It's just like when we begin to look at our own hearts, the way if we're looking at someone else that way, and it's just like, we're going to realize it's like, wow, the word of God, like that's what it's supposed to do. And it exposes our own hearts to us, and it causes us to even run to the cross that much more.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Well, the truth is that, you know, the law, the letter of the law kills, but the spirit gives life. Mm-hmm. And if we live by the letter of the law, it's always in death. And, you know, in fact, the Pharisees came to Jesus, the Pharisees says, you know, and they wanted to test him, always wanted to test somebody, always wanted to test somebody. And how many animals were in the ark? Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah.
Right.
What does that prove? Nothing. Nothing. Was always wanted to test somebody. But they say one of the experts of the law tested him with a question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Mm-hmm. They're all law focused. Mm-hmm. What to abstain from, what to do, what not to do. And Jesus replied, awesome. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and with all of your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And the thing is that you can be so law-focused. Listen, the Ten Commandments, they're all wrapped up in loving God and loving others. If we love God, we're going to be good, right? That's our highest objective. It's our highest goal, is to love the Lord God with all of our soul, mind, and strength. And then if we love other people, we're going to be able to do the same thing. We're going to be able to walk in the fulfillment of the law like Jesus did. And the enemy wants to twist that in our lives. He wants us to be law-focused instead of love-focused. Mm-hmm. And if we focus just on the love of God, loving him, believe me, we're not only going to do right by him, but we're also going to be do right by others. And that's what we got to be very, very careful about. Think about what a law is. A law is a set of rules and regulations that influence or control behavior and maybe enforced by the imposition of penalties. This is how it's defined. A law is a set of rules and regulations that influence or control behavior, and possibly there's an enforcement, you know, of a punishment because, you know, you broke it, right? Mm-hmm. It's a code of principles, you know, based on morality, conscience, and nature. And we have the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are a moral law. You know, it's for us to live before God. These we got to make, you know, God's values our priorities, right? Mm-hmm. We got to understand that we can only be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You know, if you've broken one law, you've broken them all. So it's like Jesus, the law is the schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. That's the whole thing. The law is constantly there to not for us to check off in the spiritual pride and say, yep, I've obeyed that. I've obeyed. Or, you know, I've only broken three of these, not the other seven. So I'm pretty good. See, that's measuring. All that's really because it's rooted in the tree of knowledge, not in the tree of life. It's rooted in the sin nature, not rooted in the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus, all about him, imagine that, it's all about what Jesus did.
Well, it makes me think too, like he said, when Jesus was specifically talking to the Pharisees, he says, I came to fulfill the law. Mm. And I love what you're saying. It's just like when we get caught up in counting or saying or measuring, and it's the very law that drives us to Jesus. That's just like, I can't do all that. Like that's just, I'm tired just thinking about that. And that's the whole reason why he came. He's like, I came to set you free. I came to bring life.
Yeah. You remember the law is for the lawless, and the whole thing with the law is to right control behavior, to have everything line up. It's to push people in a certain way, and the thing with about a religious spirit is that it emphasizes the obedience to some sort of regulation, to some sort of law, and if it gets real wacky when they start using it to control people and to manipulate people. Well, the Bible says, it's like, you don't even read the Bible. How do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that you're supposed to. It's like, how is it that the scriptures you do know are all law related and they don't apply to you, of course, but they apply to somebody else. The Bible says it's always trying to, like I said, control or manipulate someone into a performed behavior. And the thing about it is that, again, we have to look back to God. We have to look back to what the Lord is saying. And again, it's about trying to earn favor with God. You got to understand that you already have favor with God. Mm-hmm. He loves you. He died for you when you were a sinner. So, I mean, if he died with you when you were his enemy, believe me, you're his son, his daughter. He loves you now. He loves you. But the enemy wants us to question that, you know? Mm-hmm. And the whole thing with this is that it takes... The spirit is founded in fear and in pride. It's like, these are the foundations as I'm learning and uncovering and seeing and all, you know, observing and connecting even the dots in my own life, even when I first got saved, even to things today. The way it's rooted in fear, it's, again, this whole man approach to, you know, this sacrifice always to constantly, I'm unworthy, don't measure up. You feel it attacks you in a way that, no matter what you do, no matter how much, if you abided, you know, 4 days out of the week, 5 days is not good enough. You didn't abide all seven. If you prayed 15 minutes instead of 2 hours, it's not good enough. It's always trying to move this uphill move to earn this right place with God where you actually feel loved instead of enjoying the process and saying, man, I'm loved. Mm-hmm. And every choice for God, whether it's, you know, religious spirit has to do with measuring. You were talking about the specs, Dave, right? But every step towards God means that's one step that you didn't take towards the enemy. Rejoice in the fact that you took a step in God. It's all good. You know what I mean? He is working on you and perfecting on you. And I want to get to talking about the woman that was caught in adultery, because this is a very interesting occurrence that happened, you know, in the book of John chapter 8. And it talks about how all these people were gathered, right, in the temple courts. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about what the Pharisees did, because they knew the Bible of the day, and they were going to make sure that it was enforced. But I want you to see how Jesus reacted and what that means to us as we're dealing, uncovering this religious spirit. More when we get right back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
The Holy Spirit said to tell the people that he has not overlooked your faithfulness. And the Holy Spirit said to tell the people he's going to let you reap where you did not sow. So many things at our disposal, there's no reason whatsoever why we should not be greatly successful. There is times in your life, and will be times in your life, that God will give you a promise, and after he gives you the promise, things will get worse, and you'll say, God, I don't understand, but give it some time. There's a precedence in scripture, it will get better. You don't know when, you don't know how, but it will get better. What you're supposed to do, obey, stay in faith, don't get in doubt and unbelief. When the devil starts really heaping it on, when the devil starts screaming in your ear, it's a dead giveaway. God is about to release you from that burden. There's a harvest at hand.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
My children know middle schoolers who are dating. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and it's true. Kids in 7th and 8th grade often have boyfriends or girlfriends. Well, here's Dana Gresh explaining why that's so common and what to do about it.
I meet moms all the time whose 8th grade daughters are in their first relationship. You know, you don't go together anymore or date, you talk. Her daughter comes home and says, I'm talking to a boy. And she says, oh, that's nice, honey. And then her friend says, do you know that means they're dating? And then mom freaks out and says, why could my daughter be dating? She's not old enough to date. And I say, when did you discuss with her what your family standards were about dating? She said, we haven't talked about it yet. She's not old enough. Well, obviously she is.
These days, you've got to start talking about dating and relationships with your children early, often earlier than you want. You can hear more trusted advice from Dana Gresh on today's program at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about a religious spirit, and we want to jump right into John chapter 8, where the woman caught with adultery, in the act of adultery, was brought to Jesus. I mean, just when you thought, uh-oh, what are you going to do now? You know, and so we begin the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery, and they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, he commanded us to stone such a woman." Mm-hmm. So what do you do? This is the dilemma here. I mean, this woman was caught in the act. Mm-hmm. Interesting that it was just her now. I don't know where the man was. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But they brought her. And they're giving Jesus the Bible. They're saying, hey, in the law of Moses now, okay? And he's the central figure right before Jesus arrives on the scene, right? Everyone's the law of Moses, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's in the law of Moses. If she gets caught in the act here, we got to stone her.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stone her. Now, what do you say? That's their question. Now, what do you say? And why did they say that? Because they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. And it's interesting about, you see this spirit in operation in the life of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they were fault-finding, and they're looking to accuse and set Jesus up. Yeah, today, I mean, people are not literally throwing physical rocks and stones, but believe me, they're throwing verbal stones of judgments. Mm-hmm. They're throwing verbal stones of accusations. Throwing verbal stones of specs. Some people know good and well what they're doing. They really do, and it's evil. Others don't. They really have no idea they've been taken captive by the Spirit, and it's the more that we spend in truth. Listen, if 81% of believers are not reading the Bible, they're certainly not reading the letters in red, and mm-hmm. for sure they're not reading about the Pharisees, a third of the book of Matthew, so they don't even know that they're dealing with a religious spirit. It's just something that's operating in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you spend time with God, and there's an unveiling that occurs if you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So this continues here. But Jesus But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground. Interesting that Jesus, oftentimes when the Pharisees ask Jesus a question, he knows he never really answered them back.
No.
Just started doing his thing. Mm-hmm. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when he kept on, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing. Interesting. So how do we go from, wait a minute, this is what the law of Moses says, that we have to do this to this woman, mm-hmm. to all of a sudden dropping the stone and going home?
Right.
Well, Jesus begins to write things on the sand. And a lot of people, you know, you hear, how many messages have you heard of people? Nobody knows. Nobody knows because we just know he wrote in the sand. Nobody knows exactly, yeah. but we can only deduct. We can, you know, ask the Spirit of God, Lord, what happened? What was Jesus doing? Listen, we can come to a conclusion that if the law of Moses says, stone this woman caught in adultery, I can only assume that Jesus was writing down people's names, what their sin was, and what the punishment for that sin.
All right.
So she required a stone, but maybe you required a brick across your head. You know what I mean? maybe you required 50 lashes across your back. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
So they said, well, wait a minute. Maybe the stoning stuff, okay, I won't judge her. I won't be that judge. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'll drop my stone and go. Okay, I won't throw her a rock thinking. And here's the whole thing. Jesus is coming now because he says, listen, I require mercy, not sacrifice. I've already paid. I am the sacrifice. I am the ultimate sacrifice. It's me. And the whole thing about it is that, you know, he asked Jesus, asked the woman, where are your accusers? And that's what that spirit does. Where are your accusers? He says, they're gone. There are none. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And what's one of the things we have to remember is that we don't want to see that operating in our lives. And listen, you either this spirit is either has operated in your life at one point, either presently operating in your life, or you've been attacked by it. Either way, it is not good. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the huge battles that we're fighting in the last days, because this spirit will turn in on itself. It has the appearance of godliness. It's in the camp. It's walking and talking and right amongst the family of God, if you believe. But all of a sudden it's like, is that a dagger in your back? Is that a dagger you're lifting? I thought you were lifting up holy hands. It's like, oh no, I am attacking you right now. Et tu, Brutus. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I didn't see it happen like that. And it will turn you over. It will set you up. And so it's important that we understand that. Listen, we don't want to be ones to play judge and jury. We don't want to play ones to be accusers, to have a critical spirit, to be able to, you know, look at people's faults. But the idea is to leave all the judging to the Lord, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's what happens. These Pharisees went around constantly, because they measured themselves by the law. They applied that same measure to everybody else.
Right.
And so they thought they were doing something, you know. Of course, it was hypocritical because they were asking people to carry loads that they themselves couldn't carry. It was all a facade. Mm-hmm. It was all for show. That's what a religious spirit does. Outwardly, it does all these things, but inwardly, it's like, how is that reflective? You know, it's why you call them whitewashed tombs. What is the deal? You worried about the outside of the cup, but it's about the inside of the cup. You're full of dead man's bones. And so it's all this appearance, but there's no substance to it. And the Lord wants his church to be free. He wants us to be free of any religious spirit that would... Listen, because when we're attacking the body of Christ, mm-hmm. when we're being judgmental of the body of Christ, when we're being critical of the body of Christ, when we're finding fault with the body of Christ, when we're doing all these things, we're doing it to Jesus.
Yeah.
Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done to me. And it's time for us to stop throwing the rocks and begin to start praying for those that if there's a fault, if there's an issue, mm-hmm. there's something going on, to be able to pray for them. Use criticism, you know, use that as an opportunity for intercession. You know, when criticism starts rising, don't start interceding. Don't criticize, intercede, mm-hmm. and get free. And we get free by focusing on the the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and beholding the cross and beholding what Jesus has done. Whatever you look at, whatever you focus on, is what's going to be eventually manifest in your life. So if you become sin-focused and sin-oriented, and you know, you're dealing with pride in your life, you keep focusing on the pride, more of the pride is going to come out. You need to focus on the humility of Christ. Mm-hmm. You don't want to focus and soak on all this, the religious spirit. You want to focus on Jesus Christ, the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit, and not being judgmental, but walking in true humility. When we do that, God will just do it through us, and he's the one who sets us free. We couldn't even set ourselves free. Let's put our hope in Jesus and in his finished work. When he said it is finished, we need to believe him.
Amen.
It is finished. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations, or Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that, because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news, you know, to have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours starting at 9 a.m. Central Time all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we want to talk to you about a new book written by Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love. We love Francis Chan because he loves God and he shares the truth. And if you've missed any of the opportunities to hear him, we want to encourage you to do that. You can go to VFNTV.com and go to The Torch. We have a couple of segments regarding Francis Chan and some of the things that he has shared. But he wrote a new book with his wife called You and Me Forever. And it's about marriage, marriage in light of eternity. Now, I've seen a whole bunch of marriage books before, and some of them not so good, some of them good, you know, but we need to look at marriage the way that Jesus, God, the Bible teaches us about what marriage is all about. And somehow, you know, things get twisted and we get a different perspective. And I think a lot of times it's because, you know, instead of the church being a counterculture to the world, it tries to be at times a subculture of the world. And so it looks at what the world is doing and it says, you know, tries to frame it, if you will, in a different way or make it more palatable for what's happening in the world. And the truth is that this is God's word and we have to line up with what God says, period. And we don't have a dog in that fight. This is what he says and we just have to obey. I mean, we didn't write it. You know what I'm saying? It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we just look at the word of God, not how, you know, some people look at the word of God to see how they can find a scripture and try to wrap it around and bless what they're doing. But the true way to look at scripture, I believe, is to look at the scripture, read it, and just do what it says. And if your life is not lining up with what God's word says, then you don't change the scriptures. You change your life. You let your life, you know, mold and wrap around to what God's word says. And so this is going to be an interesting book, but we want to share with you a funny moment from Francis because he's so deep. You know what I'm saying? He's always like, you know, and he's so deep when he's talking about the Lord and so passionate and so serious. We want to show you a different side of Francis as he raps with his wife about this new book. Watch this.
You ready for this?
Oh yeah.
Let's go. For better or worse, sickness and health, heck of poor or blessed with wealth. It really don't matter what cards were dealt. I ain't gonna leave you for no one else. But Godzilla tried to step on you, then vampires stuck their teeth in you. Angry hobbits boiled you in stew. I'd stop the world and I'd melt with you. The door and boots came out to play. Then Swiper came, swiped you away. I'd grab a map and I'd search all day. When I find him, make him pay.
We ride it out together. It's you and me forever.
No matter what the weather,
no matter what.
Like you said with Romeo, like the Titanic, with DiCaprio, cause you're sweeter than the white stuff in Oreos, or the bee that makes honey, not Cheerios.
And if life gives us lemons, let's make lemonade. And if life gives us a marching band, let's have a parade.
Awesome. Riding out together. Listen, ride or die. Listen, this is what you want. This is what you want when you're going after. This is important if you're single and you're looking for somebody, or you know, you want to be married. And listen, it's not, marriage is a lot of times not what the world tries to make it be. Not for the believer. You know, true joy, the world tells us that another person's going to make us happy. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. That's what the world wants. I just want to be happy. And they think that happiness is going to come when they meet somebody, and now, oh, I'm going to be happy the rest of my life. Wrong, okay? It's not going to happen. That's a lie. It doesn't happen, okay? It's a lie. Happiness and joy comes when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and everything in your life, every relationship lives for one purpose. One purpose. It's to glorify Him. Whether it's your children, whether it's your marriage, we serve God, we do it together, we honor Him, and that's what our life is all about. Then you can have a life with no regrets. You can have a life that's joyful because you're not competing. You and your spouse are not competing about trying to make each other happy. We're trying to make the Lord happy. We're living for God, and while we're doing that together, we're just going to enjoy happiness and hanging out with the Lord, right?
That's right.
I want you to listen to Francis and his wife talk about this new book, why they wrote it, and what are their desires that they want to be fulfilled with, and how they want the body of Christ to be blessed. Watch this.
So I'm Francis, this is Lisa. We're writing this book called...
I wanted to introduce myself.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay. Sorry. I'm Francis Chan.
And I'm Lisa Chan.
See, that's why I didn't do it, because it's like, I'm Lisa. Anyways, we just wrote this book called You and Me Forever, and the whole idea behind it is, you know, sometimes couples can get so wrapped up on things here and to where they're not focused on the kingdom.
Our marriages need to remember that we're on a mission. It isn't about how satisfied and happy are we with one another.
For me, it was 1 Corinthians 7 when Paul talks about the potential of marriage being a distraction, and he was saying how we want to secure undistracted or undivided devotion to the Lord.
We felt like there was something lacking, that there wasn't a resource that really helped couples pull out of that inward focus and make it so much about one another, and rather make an outward focus and say, what are we really here for? What is the bigger picture about marriage?
And so we just thought, man, maybe we've just got it all backwards, and can we write about this and talk about marriage in light of eternity?
You've got to read this because I think it will change your mind. It will change your heart. It'll help you see marriage in an entirely different light.
I'm excited about this. I feel so good, especially about the things that Lisa's written in this book, where I go, gosh, that's powerful. It's stuff that we need to hear, but it's right out of the scriptures. And so I want everyone to get this. I believe it's something God has asked me to write. And so my whole burden is I've got to get it to as many people as possible. That's what we decided to self-publish, because I wanted to be able to give it away for free to everyone who needs it. We're hoping that it even brings in some resource that we can then give to people in other countries who are in serious need. And so we're just constantly thinking, man, how can we build people up here overseas? And I feel like this project has the opportunity to do that.
So some of you are probably wondering, where are the proceeds of this book going to go? You're talking about giving it away for free, but some of us can buy a copy. We just want you to know that 100% of the profits from this book are going to go towards so many different projects around the world. So we just can't wait to see what God's going to do with the resources from this book.
You and me forever.
Absolutely awesome. You and Me Forever. You can get it at your bookstore. You can get it on Amazon. But get the book. Get the book and support. Listen, this book came out of under 20th anniversary. They went to Africa, to a village to work in a ministry.
Their 20-year marriage anniversary?
Yeah, 20-year marriage anniversary. That's what they went. They wanted to do something like that with their friend as a ministry out there in Africa. And they were so touched by what they saw, and they were so moved by what they experienced. They said, man, we want to do more. We want to do what can we do? So in the process of writing this book, like you heard, they wanted to self-publish it so that they could, no hindrance, one, get it to however many people that want it. You can download it, I think, for free, or you can purchase it. Listen, if you can afford to buy it and buy a couple for a friend. But their hopes are to raise $5 million. $5 million with the sales of this book. And what's going to go to is to feed the hungry, to free women from prostitution, and spread the gospel to unreached places. So, hey, this is awesome.
Beautiful.
I think it's going to be a great message, and it's going to go for a great cause. Mm. And we want to encourage you to support Francis in this book and go pick it up and share it with a friend. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about the grace of God. You don't want to miss it. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing. Well, you know, I was thinking about you guys, thinking about our VFN radio listeners, as you guys have been just connecting with us. We are so appreciative of just the great conversation that we're all joining together as we continue to encourage God's people. But I was thinking about McDonald's. I know that it's one of Chris's favorite places. And as I was thinking,
which one?
Mickey D's.
Oh, he does tend to venture out a little bit.
We know that he likes to visit for lunch, you know, quite a bit. And it's interesting how he just kind of slips out the studio and slips back in.
Just disappears.
And where is Chris? And then there's a quick beeline, you know, to where he has to go. But I hear the rumbling, the crisp bag, you know, just bumping up against his leg as he's racing by. And I smell an aroma coming from over there, and I see that pretty large bag of Mickey D's. Did you bring some for the rest of us? I don't know. No, he's very quiet right now.
Yeah.
He's very quiet. Well, Chris, I want you to know. I want you to feel good about this, because maybe it's coming to America, right? But right now in Japan, you can order French fries, but not a regular, you know. They went from the large to the supersize. Now they have the mega.
Oh, come on.
Mega potato. It is double the large size.
Oh, my goodness.
It is double. You know how many calories are in a regular? I mean, I don't know.
There's not. You can't even count them. Yeah. There's so many.
I stopped doing fries just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession. You let go of the fries, huh?
I let go.
Thank you, Jesus. He repented.
But somebody did ask me for some fries yesterday. I won't name any names.
Okay, don't name any names. It's not necessary. Just confess your own sin, okay? But listen, I mean, fries. I don't know what they put in these fries, but let me tell you, they're addictive. Those fries are good. Their fries are good. But I don't know if you knew this. This is the Daily News is reporting that it weighs, this mega potato weighs about 3/4 of a pound, and it clocks in at 1,142 calories.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
57 grams of fat and 800 milligrams of sodium.
That's the whole potato that...
No, it's a... I don't know if it's a whole potato, but they call it the mega potato. It's a double. You should see the picture. We may have a picture of this.
Is it an order of fries?
It's an order of fries, oh, okay. But it's a double order of large fries.
Right.
It's you need two hands to hold the container. You need two hands to hold the container.
Grief.
And apparently, this is one of those like limited promotion things that they're running. In Japan. Well, it's in Japan. Hopefully, it won't come over here. And normally, you can get, I think, a whole meal for $5. These potatoes alone cost $5. So, you know, clue, stay away from the potatoes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're getting all hooked up here. We were just talking right before the break regarding some of the important decisions that we got to make in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about marriage and all these different things that people face and, you know, what's the purpose and the why of what we're doing. And we talked about how there's I was mentioning about the three C's in your life. The most important decisions you have to make in your life all start with a C. And Pat added a fourth one, which I won't let him share. But, you know, the number one decision you got to make with your life. The number one decision you got to make with your life that starts with a C is your decision for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, you, what are you going to do with this man, Jesus, fully God, fully man? Either he is, you can't sit on the sideline when it comes to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, he took dirt, rolled it in the ground, put some saliva, and made an eyeball. I mean, either he is a weird person, okay, or he is the Son of God. One of the two. You got to, hey, let that be, you got to, and let me tell you, he's the Son of God. So if you're the Son of God, you got to serve him. Give him your life, right? Enough said. Second one is your career. What are you going to do with your life? It doesn't necessarily mean job, but what kind of fruit? How are you going to give God glory out of your life? What are you going to produce on a day-to-day basis? What are you going to be employed with? Your talents, your resources, your intelligence, your skills. Mm-hmm. How are you going to employ that for God so that he can be glorified, right? So we just put that on the career thing. The third one is your companion. I mean, if you're going to get married, listen, that is an important decision. I was talking during the break that, you know, when I graduated from college, I got this poster. I think my mom gave it to me and had all these 20-some-odd things that you need to do to be successful, whatever, the things they give to graduates, the things that they make up to sell to you to buy. And one of the things on that list said, be careful who you marry, because it will determine either 90% of your happiness or 90% of your misery. I don't know if it's that high, but let me tell you, it's true.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat says yes. It's
so
important.
Heard.
Yeah. So you heard, yeah. It's important who you marry and why you marry. Mm-hmm. People have a lot of different reasons why they marry. You know, all sounds good. But listen, every relationship we have should help us. It should be for the purpose of, we're going to glorify God in this, you know. God, if God is the one that instituted it, let's not try to tell God how to have marriage. Let's let God tell us what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about him, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And that's when we'll have true joy, happiness, and we'll raise a family, do all these things. But we're going to do it in context of what the Bible says and how Jesus wants us to do it. But, you know, I thought that was profound. But Pat just added a fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, talk to us and tell us why we need to have the fourth C included in the four decisions you make that start with a C. What is it?
Well, it's real important who you're hanging around. So I said, well, you need to add a fourth C to your collection there.
Yeah, tell us.
I said, who are you chumming around with? Who are your friends?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Because the Bible says, bad company. Thank you, Chris. I had it and it just left me. Bad company corrupts good character. So it doesn't matter who you're chumming around with, who you hanging out with, who are
That's
your friends.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, they'll determine your destiny.
Yeah, people often think that, you know, hey, they're going to pull somebody up. So I'm just hanging out with that person because they need it. Listen, if they're not heeding your words, you know what I'm saying? You need to keep going. Don't hang with people that need you. Hang around people that heed you, that listen to what you're saying. So if you're a friend and you're speaking into their life and they're not even listening, you know, they're just doing their own thing, you're thinking you're standing up maybe on a step higher. You're thinking that you're going to pull them up and you guys are going to walk together on higher ground. And reality is that they're going to take you and pull you slap down off of that step that you're on and bring you into the mess if they're not listening and they don't want God. So, yeah, who you're chumming around with, right, Pat? Who you chumming? Is that a Southern thing, chumming? Who you chumming?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You've actually heard that one, right?
I have heard that one.
You are from another
world.
Another world.
No, but I have made the transition.
I
classify the Southern card. So,
all right. Yeah, well, talk to us about the grace of God, man.
Well, man, in my abiding time, I was just sometimes, like, when you have that abiding time, you just want to just, you can just feel like you're just laying it down, and you're like, okay, God, what are you saying to me? And the Holy Spirit just led me to 2 Corinthians. And it's amazing how it's just like you can read the Word of God and go through something in your life, and all of a sudden it's just like that has never jumped at me like it is now.
Hmm.
And in 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking about the hardships in his life. And I just want to read to you what he says, but he's basically talking about to others that how he's gone through those moments of pleading and difficulties and trials and what God said to him. And he says in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. And he was talking about, like I said, difficulties and hardships that he'd been through. And he says, but he said to me, God, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I will delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And it's like, personally, it's like I've encountered so many of those different, and I won't even go into it, of just like the false twistings of what the grace of God means and what you can go for and what it, okay, well, that means I can do this now because of grace.
It's a big deal because it's just there's this gospel of grace going on. It's like, man, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ here.
Yeah. And it's just like when you look at what Paul says, and he says he had to go through those seasons and situations and trials of pleading. And it's like if you don't have a pleading moment, you're not going to understand the grace of God. You have those entrustments that are so much bigger than you. You have those relationships that demand things from you. You have something that is just a mountain of something that's beyond your understanding that's going to cause you to cry out for the grace of God. And it's like without encountering those pleading moments, you're not going to truly understand the revelation of the grace of God.
Mm.
And it's like when we understand that first, then it's like we're going to understand the goodness of the grace of God. And God showed me the grace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in the spiritual, it's like we forget that what this truly is. And I saw arms on my shoulders. It was like, imagine if you could just rest someone's arms. And it was the arms of Jesus, just like resting. He was holding the weight.
Mm.
He was holding the burden. He was holding things that I myself could not carry. And it's like, that's the grace of God. It's him. It's the blood of Jesus. It's like he says in his word, he's like, I draw close to those that are humble. He says, but I reject the proud.
Mm.
And that just totally rocked my paradigm of just like what the grace of God is, because it takes those moments of truly understanding the fact that you feel that weight. You feel that utter heaviness of just like, oh my goodness, this is so much bigger than me. How am I going to do this? And it's just like, well, there's grace.
Mm.
You know, and the word says specifically in Colossians, he says, you know, Jesus, he's talking to, he says he's before all things and in him all things hold together. And let me tell you, that includes your body. That includes you. That includes your mind. That includes your thoughts. That includes your life. That includes your car, your marriage, your job. Everything is held together by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just began to just cry out for those that don't know the grace of God, because it's just like the difficulties of trying to do this without understanding. And it's so powerful, like what you're saying in an earlier program, of just like, if we're trying to do this in a religious understanding, if we're trying to do this just by our works, dear God, we're just going to fall in pieces.
Yeah.
And it just so like I said, man, I was in my abiding time, and it was just like, it's really hard to just put this into words, but it's like you can read the word of God, and all of a sudden it is literally, he says it's life. It's like you can see living forms of bread when you read that word of God, and it's just like, oh my goodness. And like I said, when I was praying and just thinking about people that are just trying to walk this out in that understanding in our heads, apart from the truth of the grace of God, it makes me think of Matthew, and Jesus is talking about the burden. He's talking about the heaviness. He's talking about, you know, I came to set you free. And he says in Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And the powerful thing is, though, when you think about those pleading moments like Paul talks about, there is nothing more restful in that moment when you encounter the grace of God. When you're crying out and you know that it's only the grace of God that holds you together. And continuing on in Matthew, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Because I can tell you, you can go to bed at night and not be rested. Mm. You can try to sleep at night and not be rested. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the thing. It's like, we need the grace of God to do this. We need the blood of Jesus. We need to be humble, like we've talked about before. Either we're going to be humble or we're going to be humiliated. And that's the thing. It's going to be humility or pride. And I can tell you, being humble is the far easier road. But that's the thing. It's just like, we only need, it's only Jesus that we're going to be able to do this.
Right.
Listen, the grace of God is where it's at. It's a double-sided coin. On one side, it is God's unmerited favor upon our life. We don't deserve it, but God says, I'm going to bless you anyway. Mm. We just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the grace. I don't deserve it, but you're blessing me. And the other side of the coin is God's supernatural enablement, empowerment to do what we cannot do on our own. And that's what you're talking about. Yeah. You saw the hands of the Lord carrying what was heavy on you because you kept walking. Why is it? Because God in his grace is carrying it, and I'm going all the way through with him. Listen, don't count God out, count him in, and trust and rely on the grace of God. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.